Hey film fans, long time no speak. How's the festive cheer coming? I'm here with my little elf outfit on to bring you a little pre-Christmas treat. See, this is a little extra in your stocking from Soundtrackin', because this festive season we have got so many great film offerings out there, one of which is Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery. You might have heard me talking about this in previous episodes, and I hinted to this in last week's episode, or our last episode with Alejandro González Iñárritu. And what's been really great is that there's been so many films that have had a kind of an outing at the cinema and then on Netflix in time for Christmas for us all to hunker down and enjoy. So it is with absolute joy that we welcome Daniel Craig to the podcast to discuss his relationship with music and his role as the returning master detective Benoit Blanc in Rian Johnson's smart comedic mystery, now shown, as I said, on Netflix. Now, I don't want to say too much about the plot, but suffice to say, as all the humour, twists, turns and music of the first film, with an incredible ensemble cast, including Edward Norton, Janelle Monáe, Kathryn Hahn, Leslie Odom Jr., Jessica Henwick, Madeline Klein, Kate Hudson and Dave Bautista. Just one thing that I will say about the film is Dave Bautista in his Speedos. Phenomenal. Glass Onion is scored by Nathan Johnson, Ryan's cousin, and we'll begin with his main theme.
No, pleasure. Pleasure's all mine.
Genuinely, yeah. I'm so excited to talk to you about music and musicality, really, because
okay.
I think that there's a lot that we can talk about.
Neither of which I have, but...
well, don't say that, right? Because I think that there's music connections in so much.
Uh-huh.
I mean, these two films, mm-hmm. named after songs.
Right.
This is mm-hmm. The Beatles. Mm-hmm. Previous film was the Radiohead Amnesiac mm-hmm. track. That in itself mm-hmm. is interesting. Did you mm-hmm. have anything to do with that?
It's all Ryan. I mean, I let him get on with it because he's like, I mean, he's got, I didn't even know Knives Out was the new, I was like, I only figured that out afterwards. Oh yeah, right, that's right. I'm quite slow. Yeah, I mean, that's, Ryan gets such a laugh out of putting those things into the film and for people to discover. And,
yeah. You
know, one of the wonderful things about the film is that kind of all of those things are in there.
Yeah.
And that if you do watch it and you watch it again, you'll kind of, they'll all start kind of bubbling out. And that's what he wants. He gets a giggle out of it.
Yeah. This character, though, he's got music in him.
Right.
Yeah. I think he's, you know, the bath scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard because we can't talk too much about the film specifically, but we can talk about the bath scene.
We can.
Because it's been talked about.
Yeah.
And within that bath scene, we have possibly one of the biggest names in musical theatre within that.
This is true.
Yeah. So for me, the fact that, you know, there's a Zoom call going on there.
Well, there's a bit in the first one where mm-hmm. I say some words to a Sondheim musical. And the fact that he kind of came and said yes and, you know.
But he's a character that I feel like what's lovely with over these two films is we are getting to know more about him.
Mm.
You know, the films aren't about him, but I love how with every film we're getting little insights, a bit, we get to know a bit more about him.
I suppose I'm a bit kind of, I'm a bit nervous about that. I always feel like when I used to watch the kind of P.C. Ustinov, Agatha Christie's, he'd sort of been somewhere and he kind of came in and you don't know where he'd been.
Yeah.
And then he kind of came and he did his thing and then he went off somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I don't really want to know. I'm not interested in what Benoit Blanc did when he was 10 years old, really. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's kind of very interesting. The movie's got to be about the protagonists, the suspects, and everybody's got to be kind of concentrated on that, I think. So, but we get to see a bit of his home life, which is nice.
Does music come into prep for you at all in terms of when you're...
My way of... I mean, the accent... I don't have a very musical ear. You're being very nice that you think there's music in my life, but there is music, a lot of music in my life, but I don't... One of the reasons I don't have a very musical ear is one that I can't count. So that's quite important, apparently, in music.
Apparently. Unless you're a jazz.
This is true, but that, I'm not. But kind of learning it like a piece of music, I suppose, in a way that it's a tone and that it has to have it. I mean, Southern accents like that have got a musicality. There are lots of accents that have got musicality to them. But that it sort of going back and breaking it down into its sort of component parts and then putting it back together again so it feels like kind of that. And then music is a big part of my working day because I just have an iPod, which everybody, Janelle, would laugh about. She's like, can I go around and say, I've got this like 1980s Walkman. I'm playing. It's like a fucking iPod. It's just like, it's not that old. It's like, but it's got all my music on it. And I just put it on random and I put it in my ears just to kind of, so I can zone out. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of distractions on a film set, not least of all because you've got Catherine Harmon, Janelle Monáe, and
Kate Hudson.
And it's just like laughing and having a good time. And I need to just sort of like stay in my head. So I'm always listening to music and then just throw it out just before I start. So
do you create playlists like for Cardi?
I do create playlists, but I do. I find the random things quite good because that can, you can always jog it on because.
Well, not that one.
Who put that on there? and that's the surprise of that. And you hear a piece of music because you tend not to, especially now that kind of like you've got 1,000 songs or whatever on your, you know, it's like, or not. I mean, you've got limitless songs, haven't you? I don't think we really listen to them. I don't really listen to music the way, you know, you tend to. So having surprises, I like.
Yeah.
Shuffle, like it's some new thing. You know the thing that's called shuffle in the iPod.
It's the surprise element.
Surprise, it's amazing.
Ooh, haven't heard that one in a while. Love it. Yeah. But with Ryan, is he, because I love the notion with this particular film. I mean, in fact, it's so great, by the way. I haven't even said that to you, but it's great film. It's just, I can't imagine how you write a murder mystery as well. You know, I think he's so great.
For it to work, it needs to all fit together.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's what he's a master of doing. And it needs that because it's great that it's funny and it's great that it sort of like entertains. But ultimately, it's a murder mystery. So people are going to be trying to second guess. And they're always going to, I think it's them or whatever, which is wonderful. But you don't have to do it. You don't have to watch the movie like that. You can actually just watch it and forget about all that. But if that doesn't all join up, then it's disappointing. I don't know how he does it.
You know, this is a character you're playing again and hopefully, you know, there are more to come with him. But does he talk to you about it? Because the power that performance in that first film and that character had, you know, in terms of how well received that first film has, it must be very important for him to have your feedback on that and your input to this character and where you both find him and where you both, like you say, how much of him you want to reveal.
Yeah. We have discussions, but I'm also very happy just to let him get on with it because I kind of trust him to do it. We talked a little bit about this one and just about what he kind of had in mind. And I was like, great, that sounds fantastic. And then he goes away and writes it. And he came up with the script. I read the script and I said, I think we're there. I mean, I don't have any much to add. Of course, we then have more discussions about it and sort of the film, you know, you've seen it. It kind of does things. It goes back. It comes forward. It does all these things that are kind of there to kind of. So there is a kind of, there's a complicated sort of, I hate to say character arc, but there is a character arc in this film that's kind of quite important that everybody, but as for everybody in the film, Janelle and everybody.
Yeah.
That's a complicated thing. But I don't know. I don't really worry about it too much.
Yeah.
He's got it.
Do you know where you want him to go?
No. No. I mean, I'm like, we were, I mean. No.
Do you know how many you're playing?
No. But we'll do
one
them.
More
I mean,
at least,
I mean, he said it the other day, which I think is right, is that we'll, if people want to see them, we'll keep making them.
Yeah.
As long as we can make them funny and interesting. And as soon as they're not funny and interesting anymore, then let's forget it. We'll walk away. So, yeah.
I love the fact that people are already kind of putting together their cast list for the next episodes and stuff, of their kind of wish list of who they want to see. Because that's a clever thing about it as well. Yeah. It's kind of, you know, you're the thread. And then you have this.
Well, he does. I don't know if you read that, but he says he never writes with a character, with an actor in mind.
Wow.
And because he said you're always disappointed because you kind of like you write them and they're not available. So you don't. So he's absolutely kind of just writes the characters and then gives it to the, you know, and sees who's around.
Janelle was amazing in this.
It's really.
So great.
Really great, yeah.
It's really exciting to see her acting career.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where that's going and what that's.
Yeah, but she does. She really nails it. And it's complicated what she's doing.
Yeah,
everybody, absolutely. Though. I mean, yeah. I know that it looks like we are having a lot of fun. and we did have a lot of fun making it. But it's very delicate, intricate work that's going on up there. Because being funny, I mean, like I keep saying, is like just because we find it funny doesn't mean that everybody else is going to find it funny. So it's like, you know, Kate Hudson's performance is up there with one of the best comedic performances, that, you know.
Yeah, she's kind of, she's gone there.
Yeah.
As well, can I get a bigger hat?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a bigger hat, though. Yeah, there was a much bigger hat. But it was like literally like that.
Tipping her over the edge. Did he play music on set? Because it feels
No, just not that kind of set. I mean, I've been on sets like that, and that's kind of good. It's useful sometimes, but we didn't. It's a nice idea that you can sort of like party and then shoot, but you can't.
Yeah.
It's like you've got to, it's actually a lot of concentration. So you're kind of like, you're kind of just moving. But we played a lot of music.
Yeah. Well, whilst you were playing, was it Murder? You were playing a lot of set apart.
Mafia,
sorry.
Yeah.
Never heard of that.
It's a bit like Wink Murder. It's a very, you know, Wink Murder, where you kind of, like, you never played that?
No.
And then you all sit around and someone's the murderer.
Oh, okay.
And then sort of you have to wink and then you're dead. Oh. And then people like have to guess who it is. But it's a much more complicated version of that because it's like you will get pieces of cards and they take it very seriously.
Yeah, I heard.
Yeah.
When I was coming to talk to you about music as well, I was looking at characters that you've played over the years and thinking about which ones do I really feel have like music as part of their thing. They listen to music a lot, and one of them was Joe Bang. I was like, Joe Bang has definitely got an interesting playlist and listens to.
What do you think?
I think he's actually into like metal.
Yeah, it might be
like that.
A bit of metal, a bit of grunge, maybe.
Yeah, likes to dance. I think
likes to kind of jump. I'm not dancing, okay. Maybe not dancing, jumping. Just jumping. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a mosh pit kind of guy.
I think he might be a mosh pit kind of guy. Yeah,
I love that.
That's what I was back in the day.
But even things like Joe and Enduring Love, I feel like music's a very big part of that character in a way as well, in terms of there's a beautiful kind of delicate fluidity to that performance that I think there's kind of feels
That's
like
so
there's
nice.
Yeah, music around
I
that.
I think it's unavoidable. I mean, and you know how important music is in movies. Whether it's just incidental music or mood music, or you know, suddenly, when you watch a movie and they get that track, and then that can make all such a difference. But then, you know, like on the last Bond movie with Hans Zimmer and his stuff at the end of the movie, which is just like it was kind of working, and then Hans came along and he went, "Oh no, it's really working." It's kind of that is just like it's so special and you know, and crucial.
I loved hearing you talk about. The Billion Phineas track, and you kind of you heard it and then you took it out. What is this thing about cars? My husband's a musician and that's where he goes into the car to listen to his record.
Someone did it to me years ago, and I was in a studio with a music producer, and a friend of mine was recording something and we all went and listened to it in the car, and it was a Mercedes and it had a nice sound system, and he went, "This is the best place." I was like, "Look at that." I was like, "These fucking really expensive speakers you've got." But he was kind of wanted to get into this car, and I stuck with me, and I thought, "No, you're right, that's the that's the best place, leave me alone, close the doors."
Absolutely.
You know,
I love the idea of you going and listening to that track and kind of, and getting it. And how involved did you get in that side of things? You know, because you think about your time as that character and those incredible songs. And what they did. And there's a beautiful documentary recently. In fact, I was lucky enough to chat to David and Matt about the music, the celebration.
Oh, Great film.
The pressure on these, on you all, I think, in terms of getting that song right. And I was interested if whether it was something you...
In the sense, I don't know a lot about it. So therefore, I've got a big mouth. So, I mean, it's never stopped me. And... you kind of just know, I think. You kind of hear it and you just kind of, it's amazing. Isn't that an amazing thing when you listen to a track and you kind of know it?
Yeah.
And that's usually the sign that it's going to be, it's going to hit that thing. And so when you listen, you go, oh, I kind of know that. Yeah, I understand that. I know. And it's not that it's, you see it coming.
Yeah.
It's not that you're kind of like it's being semaphored, that you know what the song is about. It's just that it's the emotional, it's sort of when it hits you and it kind of,
yeah.
I don't know what that is. It's probably,
it's just probably a feeling.
People, yeah, it's feeling. Emotion, you're right. It? Exactly.
Yeah.
There's probably lots of people written about it that I've, but.
Yeah, it's for me, it's about how it feels.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But were you, like you say, you know, you said you've got a big mouth. Would you send them suggestions of who you think should do the songs? Did you have ideas?
I did have. We had lots of discussion. We had lots of discussions over the time. I mean, years ago, Amy Winehouse came in.
Yeah, it's beautifully told in the doc.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, that was just like, I mean, in four sorts of reasons, that would have been amazing, but and sad and all of those things. But it's sort of, that's part of the Bond thing, isn't it? I mean, that someone was talking to me about the other day, and I just sort of, you know, I was reminded of that, is that that kind of cross-generational thing that would happen, the music, the track would come out, everyone would go, what do you think of the track? Do you think the track's good? And it would just be this kind of like gathering storm that would happen with the film, because it was about, everybody would be talking about it, and it would be something you talk about at home with your dad and your mum and your nan. Do you like the track, nan? It's like, you know, I mean, so it was very important.
Excuse me,
my stomach's just going.
So, lunch is there. You'll get it. Give me a few more minutes, then
okay,
you can
go.
Really good looking wedgies. I'll go past the corner.
Well, I got these.
You got your shortbread, exactly.
I've got my shortbread, I'll be fine.
With something when you went into Bond, going back to that start, just for a second, if you don't mind, of, you know, that theme tune and how iconic that music was when you stepped into that role. And Is it there in your head when you're on set? Is it kind of, you know?
It's in the supermarket. It's
everywhere. People walking past you.
I remember doing the press launch when we did that thing where I came down the Thames.
Yeah.
Which wasn't real. And I was just like, what the fuck is this? And I was like, what is this about? And then I remember going and all the press, there were like 100 people there. It was like kind of, I was like, oh my God, this is intense. And I remember kind of like, and then Daniel Craig. And I kind of walked out and they just went, wah, 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 and I went, oh shit. And that was kind of literally that kind of moment. I suddenly went, oh, this is happening. And it's so weird how you kind of block things out and kind of just think, yeah, it's all fun. And I got completely shocked. And it was that piece of music, because that was the kind of the signifier. They played it as I walked out.
Yeah.
And it's like,
wow.
This is, there's no walk. I've kind of like, I'm going to go that way. But
reverse, back onto the boat.
Well, I'm not so sure.
It was a beautiful ending to that whole journey. Mm. It was just wonderful. Oh, really was.
Oh, thank you.
The way those films are fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
It's so exciting in terms of when you've been part of something for so long, of kind of, you know, what's next and what you do. And that must be, that must be exciting for you in terms of you closed kind of one chapter and it's the next chapter of what you do.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like there was a grand plan. This came along, and how fortunate am I to sort of like get something like this that seems to sort of, people want to go and see and want to watch, and that's so nice. I think things through a lot. I think about how we ended Bond, and it was very important to end it the way we did for me. And I think for the franchise, I think it kind of like, it'll mean the franchise can kind of go on and do what it wants now, which is kind of important. What the future held, I was sort of like, well, you know, let's see. I'm feeling good about myself. Yeah. That's all I wanted to do, was feel good about leaving it in a good place.
Yeah.
And I felt like, oh, we did that. That's good.
Yeah.
But kind of what was next? It was like, I don't know. I mean, you know, and then this came along. Yeah.
And the advert. I can't not mention the advert. I can't not mention it, because it does feel, but it does feel so clever, because it is kind of going, thanks. And then you're like, okay, I'm done with that. It's great and I've loved it, but I'm having a great time and I'm going to have a great time.
Yeah.
It's joyous.
It is joyous. It is. I mean, and the gag, hopefully, that people get as well, is that it is supposed to be sort of tongue in cheek that I'm saying I'm leaving something behind.
Yeah.
It's just a gag. It's just like, you know,
because
it's like, it's not.
It's brilliant. Mm. I loved you talking about Taika, being directed by Taika or not being directed by Taika. Like, go.
Yeah.
Listen up.
Listen up. Just keep. Yeah. Like, when Taika got involved, I was so pleased, because I'm such a huge fan of his. But also just that, in for a penny.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? It's like kind of, don't, I mean, let's do it.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? I want you to dance all the way through it. Okay. If you say so.
Was it the actual track that you had on the day of filming? Because that's the thing that blows my mind sometimes, is when there's a dance scene in a film or something and it's got a piece of music, and a lot of the time it's not that piece of music that's played.
We had another piece of music, but we couldn't use it.
Yeah.
And listen, the track that we've got is
yeah, it's fabulous. Great. We're just starting two members. I just got here, the party's stupendous. I'm just spending. I bought out the whole bar. I'm just chilling. I pick him up, I pick him up. I can burn him down, I can put him down. I can't help myself when that guy comes around. Yeah, I'm saying it's the lips, it's the eyes. We hold it tight. Up in my head every day, need it every night. And he may say, for days now, it's just endless. She came to my house and suspended. That time that she had's been extended. Central Friday night with EastEnders. Ooh, ooh, ooh. That guy got me weak at the knees. Now you better keep it coming, baby. Come put your moves on me. Put your loving on me. Finally.
Cut.
But it's the same. It's the same again. I'm yeah. not musical. Apparently, apparently it's similar.
Have you seen Napoleon Dynamite? The film Napoleon
yeah,
Dynamite.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
the
yeah.
dance scene in that?
What remind me?
Canned Heat, Jamiroquai.
Oh yeah.
Wasn't that song?
Oh, was it not?
No. No. In my mind that.
Oh really?
Yeah. Because it's yeah. so like, oh, yeah. how could it not be?
Yeah, yeah.
It's so weird.
I think as long as it hits the same beat, it's fine, isn't
yeah.
it?
Slow you yeah. up, slow you down.
I mean, we had it's a two-step I'm doing, so it's like it just had to be a two-step.
Oh, hello.
I know.
Knows his dance moves.
I do know. I don't know what a three-step is. Something completely different.
Was music in film when you were growing up? Did you recognise it? Did you? Were yeah, there certain films and music?
That's a good question. I mean, certainly the biggest influence, one of the biggest things, I mean, the soundtrack, first soundtracks that I really kind of blew me away was Vangelis. Blade Runner. And that, I then went and, I think that was the first soundtrack I ever bought, because that was this sort of just like kind of trippy, kind of fantastic thing that kind of, you know, and then we used to have it back in the 90s. That used to go on in the evening.
Mm-hmm. Good rave record, that.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah, house party rave, yeah, definitely. Mm. That's a really interesting one, because I think there's two types of music within film: things that can sit outside the film and have a life of their own,
yeah.
and then things that are so intrinsically woven within the
yeah.
narrative and the characters that they kind of can only live within that environment.
That's right.
Well.
No, that's true. That's very true. And so, I mean, some did, so they kind of make that leap, don't they? They kind of become a record that you listen to on their own. I mean, Paris, Texas soundtrack is sort of, I mean, it's like kind of just nothing, you know. Trying to think of some others, but I mean, you know, and then something like Hans Zimmer, like, which is sort of very much just, it's the musical score, and you could listen to it, but it's like, it's so woven into the kind of the emotion of the movie.
Yeah.
That it kind of, you know.
Yeah. Is directing something that you have your eye on at all?
No, fuck that. People want to know, you know, like, what are we going to do now? I don't know. What are we going to do now? We're going to go over there. I don't know. Like, the idea is terrifying. Yeah, I mean, I suppose in a way, I'm kind of tempted, but I don't think so. I'm kind of, you know, you go home at night and the phone will not stop ringing, because there's the producer, yeah. there's this, there's this, there's this. I think I work hard enough. I don't know if I could do that. I love actors and I love working with actors. I don't know if I could make that leap in directing actors. I'm not sure. I just don't think they'd take me seriously. They'd just laugh at me. Could you do? No. Would you mind? No. Okay.
What about, you want then? What about theatre?
Directing theatre?
Yeah. Because theatre has been a big part of your world that's run alongside, you know, this.
I'm kind of a bit in awe of directors, and I love that. I love what, like with Ryan, who has a real special gift, and it's a desire to sort of kind of hold a party and to be in charge of the party and to manipulate the party and all of those things. I'm much more of the guy lying on the couch just going, well, I've had a good time, don't worry about it. I mean, so I that's me and him kind of, he's kind of pulling the strings, and I'm really happy to have someone like that pulling the strings.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like that's where I get my kicks from, being kind of in that part of that thing. I just don't know if I've got the kind of, I used to toy with it, but I don't know I've got the wherewithal to do it.
Happy on the couch with your Walkman, basically.
Yeah, basically. That's with my 1980s Walkman. If only I had a 1980s Walkman, that would be amazing. They're worth a lot of money now.
My 9-year-old's obsessed with cassettes. He asked for a cassette player last Christmas.
There was something magic about it, because our kid did that as well, which is and I just bought lots of, just to put it down, record it, and then have that kind of. I know.
And then devastated when it got caught up and it's gone.
It's all gone.
Forever.
Yeah.
It's out the window.
Yeah, yeah.
What is next?
Nothing for now. I've been away from home doing this. I've got to go back home, be with my family.
Yeah.
That's sort of the kind of the one of the privileges of sort of having a bit more notoriety, as you can pick and choose a bit. And that really is about kind of just making sure that there's plenty of gaps at home. Bond used to take me away from home for a year. And it was like, kind of, it's hard, really hard. So, and I don't need to do that anymore right now. So, nothing.
I remember seeing you at the Roundhouse at a Noel Gallagher gig.
Yeah. Do you know what happened at the end?
No.
That was
Did
like,
I miss you getting on stage?
No, but we... I was standing on the balcony and sort of walking out, and everybody was walking out. And as they kind of like the crowd turned around, they looked up and they went like that. And like 1,000 people went, "Who are you? Who are you? Who are you?" And I just was like, "Oh wow, that's quite intense." And I went and saw Noel, and Noel backstage. He went, "Ah, that means they like you." And I was like, "Okay."
I thought you were going to say they all start singing the Bond theme at you.
Oh my god! Yeah, I know, who are you? It's like
straight back down. Straight back,
yeah.
Totally.
I'm home.
What was the last concert you went to?
Oh god, it's been so bad. Yeah. I haven't seen anything. It's really. I remember it's like we were in the middle of lockdown, and Ed Sheeran was on. Graham Norton. I know this is not, I'm kind of dodging because I haven't seen it, I can't remember, which is awful, but Ed was singing live in the studio.
Yeah.
And I was sat on the couch and everybody was like, we're all 6 foot apart, and it was like, you know, kind of doing that thing where you have to do.
Yeah.
I was just, tears were streaming down my face, because it was watching someone perform was just like, it's, I'm kind of getting teared up about it now. It's like, it really does affect you like that, because it's just, and that's what we've been missing. And having this go, I mean, I'm bringing it back to Glasgow Onion, but having it in a cinema and watching it, the audience the other night in London and you know, all of that, it's like, wow, what else is there?
Yeah.
You know, we've got to get out there and hang out with strangers. Someone said to me the other day, I kind of read this thing, it's like, our happiness is gauged by the strangers we meet. I don't know where that comes from. It's full of complete bullshit, but I really liked it. I really like, because it's sort of like we got to get out there and mix with people, and music and theatre and film are kind of like a good opportunity to do that.
I felt like I'd had a sort of spiritual experience when I got that first thing of music that I think it was Laura Marling at the Royal Albert Hall, and it was empty because it was a proms, but I was there working, and it was. Weirdly, the Royal Albert Hall being empty, but her performing with this string quartet, I was like sobbing.
Yeah, yeah, I bet.
It's that physical thing that it does to you. That's the power of music.
Yeah. And just also kind of the fact that people are just like, you know, you kind of just realise how fucking talented people are. You just go, oh my God.
We get blasé, don't we?
You do, yeah. You just go, like, you can sing, whatever. But it's like, you forget.
ABBA.
Yes.
Now, a mutual friend of ours,
yes,
she got me along to see it, and I took my two kids.
Yeah.
I still can't really talk about it because it absolutely blew my mind.
One of these lovely things that they made this big announcement at the beginning, which is please don't film this. And nobody does.
I know. Can we do that in everything, please?
I know. It's magic. It's my best friend directed it, so I'm kind of like, that was floods of tears watching that.
Yeah.
But it is so emotional, and what he's done with it is sort of, you know, I mean, whether you're an ABBA fan or not, the experience is magic, yeah. And it's one of those magic moments, and I can't quite define it. I kept kind of like thinking, what am I watching? What am I doing? What? But then it suddenly would become incredibly emotional and beautiful, and the lights just like change. Yeah. So I it's definitely worth a look.
Oh, every song has got something.
Yeah, yeah.
Different to it, and the live band there as well had something.
Yeah.
I did the most disgusting cry laughing to Chiquita. Oh my God, nobody needed to see that.
That was so. But that's with the sun.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's all it is. It's a sunset.
No.
Broken.
Yeah. I know. Worth it. Really worth it. That was it. That's the last time. I mean, that's kind of that's the last one I went to see. That's a weird.
That's a good last gig.
Yeah.
Oh, it's lovely chatting to you.
Yeah, it's lovely to see you.
Have a great Christmas.
Thank you, and you.
Enjoy your shortbread.
Thank you, shortbread. And
don't eat it all in once. I look forward to what's next.
Yeah.
Thanks, Daniel.
I'll see you.
Thank you so much.
As featured in ABBA Voyage, that's Chiquitita. You get me started again. I'll be off. Rounding off this latest episode of Soundtracking with Daniel Craig. My huge thanks to Daniel, and also I should say a massive thank you and Merry Christmas to his publicist, Laura, who is definitely part of the reason that we managed to get Daniel on the podcast. To both of them, in fact, for taking the time to talk to us on our little podcast. We really, really appreciate it. Glass Onion and Knives Out Mystery is available to watch on Netflix. And I should say, I've already recorded an episode of the podcast with Ryan Johnson that you'll hear in the new year, which was so much fun. I loved chatting to him about this film, about many things, about his love of musical theatre. So Ryan Johnson on the way in the new year in 2023, which is only around the corner. You can head to edithbowman.com, in fact, to hear every single episode of the podcast, including a previous chat that I had with Ryan. And please do subscribe whilst you're there. Next up, very excited to welcome a lady back to the podcast who previously appeared with Edgar Wright. Christy wrote Last Night in Soho, which was Edgar's last feature film. And I just felt like, well, I really wanted to get her on because I think she's an incredible voice in the writing world. And when you hear her story, it is absolutely inspirational. She is a force to be reckoned with. I'm so excited where her career goes. But currently, you can watch her latest film, The Good Nurse, which she wrote, which is up on Netflix now. It stars Eddie Redmayne and Jessica Chastain. She's done a phenomenal job. So Christy Wilson-Cairns is our guest on the next episode of Soundtrackin'.